Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Yishai Fleisha Show, broadcasting live from Judea to the world. You're a part of it wherever you are. Shalom, and welcome to our living room and my delightful best friend in the world and great show hostess, co-hostess, Malka Fleischer. Wow. Shalom.
Thanks, Yishai.
Great to have you. Yeah, great to have you on the show.
Thanks a lot.
I have to say, honestly, that I'm a little bit tireder than usual.
Yes.
And that's not something I'd rather start the show with. But
okay, that's okay.
But there's a truth to it.
This is a safe space for you.
Yeah.
You can talk about that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. As long as nobody's listening. I want to say that I am tired because this week was tiresome. Okay. First thing, I'm flying out Saturday night for a short trip to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Fundraising for very important stuff in Hebron, our incredible building project, which we're going to be building 30 apartments. So that's one thing. And I get a little nervous before flights.
Sure, that's okay.
I get nervous about packing up and stuff like that, making sure I have everything. I just get that way a little
bit. That's all right.
There's worse things. Even though I'm a quote-unquote pro, okay?
Yes, you are very good at packing and traveling.
Right. But I get nervous for some reason, which is kind of silly.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, all right. But that's small compared to the fact that Tuesday we had big election day, and that also included the fact that the kids were off.
Yes.
So the kids were off, so therefore we had to – I felt that we had to really take advantage of that. It's like the end of the summer, so we took the kids to the beach. But then I agreed to also be on I-24 on the TV at 7 to 8 p.m., which meant we had to get to the beach, off the beach early, and then I had to get dressed. I had
get into nice clothes.
Right, sand in the hair type thing. And then,
luckily, you have black and white hair, so it didn't really.
So it was salt and pepper.
No, it was like,
I understand.
It's one of the advantages.
Yep. Well, there you go. And so, and then get on TV, and that was before election results, and then deal with the election results themselves. And this is to remind everybody that we had 3 months ago, we had elections,
mm-hmm.
and for at least 3 months before that, we were gearing up for elections. So it was like. Basically, and then the elections kind of failed.
Right.
And
we
then
had
we had
to do it over.
Do it over and again, gear up emotionally and all that kind of stuff. And so therefore, it's been like 6 months of this stuff.
Yeah, it's been a whole lot of electing.
It's been a whole lot of electing.
Well, in America, they elect for like 2 years.
That's true. Yeah, they're always saying
they basically start at the end of the last campaign. It's like 4 years. It's always election time.
Yeah.
Especially these days.
Yeah,
I don't remember it being
like
that.
It's not as much, but the thing is that when you're emotionally involved with your country, you can get emotionally involved, and so it's tiring. It tired me personally out. Now
it might have been less tiring had the results been less bad.
Right. The results weren't horrible or anything like that, but they weren't awesome, and that makes perfect sense that they wouldn't be awesome because actually the first elections were quite good for at least the people that I agree with and think represent me. And one could say all kinds of nice things about these elections that at the end, you know, the democratic process and all that. But then again, who does a democratic process every 3 years? So it was tiring. And even at the end yesterday when I was like, I cannot even hear anything anymore, I thought to myself, it's a little bit like, do you know about the conundrum that people are discussing that like the social media platforms are really very focused on trying to make sure that we're addicted to them?
Right.
And so I was like, wait a minute, did I just fall to be an addict of, I'm not a sports addict, I'm not a TV addict, did I become a politics addict because, you know, I love my country and I want to make sure it goes in the right direction, I want to be active in it?
I don't think you're a politics addict, because it's not like all year long you're like, oh, so-and-so said such and such, ooh, so-and-so had a meeting with blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I think the elections, everyone wants to know. Everyone's hitting refresh all day long and trying to see what the results are.
No, not everybody. And that's
a lot of people.
Let's just say
newsy
that,
type people.
Right, which isn't everybody, and
it's a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there was a lot of, it was very emotional at the end of the day. And I want to say just one preliminary thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. I said to my next door neighbor, "No." So, like, all the recommendations that you said didn't exactly go right, isn't that?
What do you mean?
He's, like, pro the Yamina Party, pro Ayelet Shaked and Bennett.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they came out as big winners from this.
No.
So I said
they're
to
one
him,
of the smaller parties.
So I said to him, so what do you say? He goes, there's mystical things going on here, you know, things
beyond.
So I said to him, Freddie, I said, now that you lost, you became mystical. Is
right.
That, is that
yeah,
what
that's
it is?
What happens.
Right, exactly. So I want to get mystical for a second. And I want to say one thing. I was downstairs at the little Chabad house here. Thank God for it.
Yes, I mean.
I bumped into a rabbi friend of mine, Rabbi Donnie Eisenstock, very smart rabbi, whose natural modality is more towards the, I'm not talking in policy, but in emotion, his makeup is more of the liberal tendencies.
Okay.
Okay, get along, peace, achdut, all that rhetoric is like dear to him.
Oh.
Which is great. And that's okay. And he's a bud. And he's also a very smart young rabbi. So he says to me, I had the newspaper with me. He pointed to Lieberman.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, that's Mashiach right there.
What?
I said, what? He goes, because of him, we're going to have achdus now.
Oh, my God.
We're going to have unity. And you know what? And at first, I was like, just like you said, right? I was like, ah, come on. Don't be naive, blah, blah, blah. And then in my heart, I was like, maybe. I can, at least I can like.
I mean, I saw a picture in the news today of I saw a picture in the news today. There was a memorial service and Netanyahu was there. Gantz was there. Ruby Rivlin, the president of Israel was there. And they're all smiling, right? Bibi and it's. Oh, so my editor, I gotta like quote my editor because I work for JNS. So we were talking about headlines today and he came up with some great ones. And he said that the headlines today for talks about a possible unity government should be, it's all about the Benjamins, which is brilliant. That's Ben. Wait. That's my editor, Ben Gale.
Wait.
He said it's all about the Benjamins because it's Benny Gantz.
Benny Gantz.
And Bibi Netanyahu, two Benjamins.
If it's all about
you go from Bibi to Benny to Bibi, whatever.
Yeah, it's funny you say that.
But they're all like holding hands together, like some great thing has just happened. Whole country is like maruach, as we say here in Israel, like right. Totally like smeared across the floor.
Yeah,
we're all
smeared.
Like, oh God, what
but
just
you know
happened?
What? You know what?
And they're like smiling.
I mean,
I guess that's what they have to do, right? Like, it wouldn't be right for them
to.
Well, they shouldn't look like they have to bring this country into the next phase, whatever that is.
That's good. You know what, Monica? I want to tell you.
So they got to look strong and good.
I want to tell you something. I'm not so ecstatic. It's not it wasn't like horrific results or anything like that. I just wasn't so ecstatic about it and about a lot of little things. Also, politics is this kind of thing that it's like any glamour type business. From the further out you go, the more it seems nice. And
right.
The further
and
in
you
go,
closer, you're like, oh.
It's like, yeah, you're like, ooh. You know, it's like little beautiful children, you know, when they're playing or sleeping, they're sweet like anything. But when you're trying to change them and get them dressed and out the door or whatever, and you're dealing with the nitty gritty, it's not as any nitty gritty is that. It's nitty gritty.
It's nitty and it's gritty.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm telling you, like, there's a certain exhaustion in me, but I'm so happy to be doing radio with you here on the Land of Israel Network. And I want to say to you, Malka, that I recall when the Prime Minister of Israel, first thing, he didn't have to even go to elections at all, two election cycles
right.
ago. He had another year, and we still had a majority of 61 seats. He didn't even have to go to elections, but he decided to pull the plug on the Knesset. That's one. Then decided to go to he went to elections. He had an excellent result, and that excellent result was better than
the
result.
It wasn't excellent. It was just fine.
It was a 60. He had 60 in a coalition.
Right.
And only
had to
do
hop
pull
one person
one
from somewhere.
So wait a little bit. Don't rush it. But he dissolved the Knesset. He didn't need to do that. And that very well may have been ostensibly a political mistake. But I want to say something. I remember when we went to elections version 2, I thought to myself, what a mistake. But the other thing I thought to myself is, I guess we have to go to some kind of war this summer. And it's either going to be a physical war with the bad guys.
Right.
Or we're going to have a political war inside
with
the country.
With each other.
And you know what?
Is that better?
Yes.
I guess we all live.
Yes, we live and it wasn't so bad. And I thought to myself, okay, if we have to choose between these two wars, I guess not that, by the way, I'm the kind of guy who says, do everything to avoid war. I hate that attitude, which is like, and that's the end. Why do I hate that attitude? Because the enemy senses that you're going to do everything to avoid war. So therefore, the enemy's like, so therefore I can attack and continue to eat up what I want to eat up. And the my enemy, i.e. Israel, wants to not, you know, doesn't want to fight, doesn't want to go into battle. But in any case, we went into political battle. And again, I just went mystical on trying to explain the election results. The bottom line of the bottom line of the story is like this. This country, minus the Arabs, and that's, by the way, what I'm saying is part of the discourse here in Israel. When you take away the Arab representation in Knesset, which got, it's ostensibly yep. now 12 seats, mm-hmm. you take them away, you basically have 65 for the general right wing. I'll qualify in a second.
Well, can I support what you're saying for
yeah,
a second?
Yeah.
I did a little tiny math.
Okay. Which is dangerous in politics.
Which is dangerous in politics. It's small, and I'm telling you now that it's rough. It
yeah.
is rough math.
Okay.
Because there were also a bunch of little parties that I don't exactly know where they stand on the right-left divide, or really basically what they stand for, because they're so small that they never made it into the news. But I did a little math. It turns out that the right got 2,011,911 votes. The left got 2,275,254 votes. But that's with the Arab joint list,
mm-hmm.
which is like 450,000 people.
Wait, and what?
Which basically means, and I get, like, let's put aside the fact I understand there are Arabs, they're citizens of Israel, they have a right to vote according to the laws
sure.
that we have in our country, okay?
Sure.
They're citizens.
Just
but
like
if you
in America,
would take
in America,
out...
you could say this is the black vote, the Latino vote.
If you would take out the Arab joint list, which in my opinion is an anti-Israel party more than it is a left-wing party, then you really have more voters for the right than the left. That's what I'm saying.
Did you include also in that, Malka, did you include did you include the fact that the Russians who voted for Lieberman, who has now how many seats? Eight?
Let me look.
I think eight seats
Lieberman
for Lieberman.
Has right now, they haven't finished counting, but
yes.
they're basically saying that he has eight.
Right.
They're also basically saying that Blue and White has 33 and Likud has 31.
Right. Okay.
Which is already a pretty
right. Which is a reversal of the last elections of version.
Right.
One.
Basically a
right,
total
basically
reversal.
A reversal.
Right.
So you know, and
not to mention that the Arab parties grew by three seats.
Right, which is they went back to what they were a few years ago. Okay,
right, they got over their like
right,
division.
It wasn't a huge.
Interestingly, powerful lesson there. Look
yeah.
what happens when you get over your division.
Yeah,
look what can happen for you.
Okay, but if you bring the Russian voters
yeah.
out of what has now become center left, because their leader basically just willy nilly decided
mm-hmm.
that he doesn't want to sit with the ultra orthodox and that he's, you know, a secular candidate and all that kind of stuff. In reality, they belong on the right, and everybody knows that in Israel. And so in reality, if you think about it, there are 65 on the minus the Arabs. There are 65 voters on the 65 seats on the right.
Yep.
And there's about 45 or 40 even less on the left. Right. Because if you take away the Arabs.
OK.
65 minus. We did this exactly 3 months ago. We did exactly the same.
I don't remember doing
it's
this
the
math
same,
with you. Maybe
we,
you did it
we
with
did
Mike.
The same thing. We did it with you. Listen, the bottom line is there's really – the country is more towards the right. It's more towards the nationalist right, the Jew. And you would suspect that since Israel is off, you know, in big measure traditional, in big
well,
measure
a
Jewish.
Lot of people, yeah.
And that's the majority of the country. But when you go to Tel Aviv and stuff like that, the other kind of constituency of this country is Kahol Levan. They are a little bit more secular, a little bit more doubtful, hopeful that we can make some kind of peace deal with the Arabs and that kind of thing, and a little less like Jewishly inclined. And so that's exactly Kahol Levan versus Likud, that divide.
Well, there's two other things I want to say about what you're saying. One is that on Twitter, anyway, amongst my peeps on Twitter,
yeah.
what people are saying is not that it was an anti-right vote or even a pro-secular vote, per se. It was a little bit of an upsetness with Benjamin Netanyahu himself, that people were kind of getting tired of him, which is a little bit sad, but a little bit reasonable at the same time. I mean, he has been in power for a long time. And the truth is, the way this campaign ran was like, overly emotionalized.
Malka, can I ask you a question?
And you look at these blue and thinking? White people who, like, if you ask me, are almost completely devoid of emotion. And then you're just like, their colors are blue and white. And you're just like, I would rather be with these people because this guy is tiring me out with his, the Arabs are coming to vote. Hurry. Oh, wait, I have to get on primetime TV and tell everybody that I am probably going to annex slash apply sovereignty to the Jordan Valley. And people are just like, bam, bam, bam. They're getting hit with all this BB. And they're like, they're tired of it. So they went the other direction.
Speaking of a Jew who's not tired, Malka.
Yeah.
One awesome Jew who's not tired is Ambassador David Friedman.
Wait, I want to say the one other thing. I love Ambassador David Friedman.
And
that's in
you
parentheses.
Got to take a picture with him
yesterday. Wait, I'm sorry. Don't even. Because I really wanted to, like, I want him to be my uncle.
We were at a very exclusive barbecue at an undisclosed
location.
Don't,
we shouldn't overly talk about
in
this.
In Jerusalem, and we got to be with some awesome.
Two great things happened to me. Three great things happened to me at the barbecue.
One.
Four great things happened to me. Five.
Okay, go.
Five great things. Six happened. Six things. One, we got to hang out with our friend Avi Hyman in the car. That was fun. Two, you and I got to go out, which is like a rare treat. Three, we got to go to Jerusalem, which is always nice. Four, we got to hang out at the home of real heroes of Israel who have done so much good for the Jewish people, and that was a pleasure. Five, I met these cool American Air Force pilots, and I'm like, I see this wicked awesome patch on the arm of one of them, which has an Israeli flag and an American flag, and between them is an F-16.
F-18.
Excuse me, F-18.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, that patch is cool. He rips it off the side of his arm. It was on Velcro.
Noise.
Okay. It wasn't like he actually really, like, it wasn't that dramatic, but he ripped it off and it had Velcro. And he's like, here, take this. I'm like, what? This is the coolest patch I've ever seen. And it turns out that he's part of some, like, educational military cooperation thing between the United States and Israel.
Right.
And he was also at this barbecue. And he gave me this patch, and I'm going to totally frame it and hang it up in my kid's room.
There was, you said Avi Hyman. We also got to see our good buddy Jack, who listens to this show.
We got to see our good buddy Jack, of course. Right. And he took like a Insta trip to Israel, and he told us about the miracle, the modern day miracle of points.
That's right.
We talked about points. But then, okay, so then another great thing happened to me, which is that there were these like extremely masterful grill masters who were barbecuing. These are like Argentinian grill masters who bring all their like humongous grills, and their food was really delicious. But on top of that, they make their own malabi. And if you know me, you know that I have a weakness for all the like Mizrahi food, all the like Sephardic and North African Jewish food.
Yeah.
And they made this incredible parv malabi. You can look it up on Google. It's basically a rose water, whitey, creamy, amazing dessert with nuts and coconut on top. It's just the best. And I really ate too much malabi.
Yeah.
But I don't regret
it. Three malabis?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, because I ate two. Okay.
But they were delicious. I'm not exactly sorry that I did it. Anyway, but then the last cool thing, not the last, but the last one I'll mention is that I got to meet, finally, I got to meet Ambassador David Friedman, who is even cooler in person. Actually, I would say he is just as cool in person as he is in
his onstage persona.
In onstage political awesomeness, which I already thought was really cool. And I wish that we had gotten, I mamash wanted to sit down with him and be like, what's your favorite place in Israel? What's your favorite food? What do you like to, like, I just wanted to, like, talk to him about everything.
Arrange an interview? We can arrange an interview.
I don't know. That's interesting.
Anyway, it was nice
But
to
it was
see
really
you.
A pleasure to get to meet Ambassador David Friedman, and he remains tight-lipped on that peace plan between Trump and the Jewish state, but he says it's a-coming. So we're going to see what that is.
All right. There's more things that I don't want to talk about, so.
Wait, I wanted to say the one last thing about the elections that I think that people need to know that may have influenced this year's elections.
Yes, ma'am.
Which was actually something that was brilliant, but also like raises questions at the same time. In Tel Aviv, the main city of the left, there was a new cool effort to get out the vote. And that effort was, if you take a picture of yourself or like go into an app or something, I think there were a couple different ways. Voting. If you take a picture of yourself at the voting booth with your ballot and that you voted, you show it to a list of stores and restaurants and you get percentages off on election day. And it's a way to get people out, get people in to keep going to the stores and things like that on election day. But it's also mostly a way to get people to go vote. Now, I didn't hear about anything like that in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, the holy city of Jerusalem.
Hey, what the heck? What's up
where
with that?
There's shopping, right? And I'm wondering how that affected the vote. Like, did it get out thousands of more people? Did it get out tens of thousands of more people? I'm curious to see how that initiative went. My guess is that it really did affect the elections. Maybe even it got, I don't know, maybe it got even another seat for Kahol Levan, for Blue and White. And I wish that, like, I think that the right did get out and vote, but I wish that we'd gotten out to the max. I wish we'd gotten out even more.
You wish that there was sales and fun stuff at the restaurants.
Also, that wouldn't have hurt anything.
Right, that's right. Awesomeness. Elections was, of course, elections are not quite done because elections are done, but now is the phase two, which is the recommendations that to the president, and he, the president of Israel, then goes back and says to one party, you're in charge of putting together the coalition, and then there's coalition talks, and if there is a coalition, then there's coalition agreements. It's quite the quiet here, really.
It's a funky system. This ain't no America.
Yeah, it's chaotic. It is chaotic.
And it's really about who's the better politician in the end, kind of. It's like, it's not even like it. Let's put it this way. I can envision a scenario in which Prime Minister Netanyahu stays Prime Minister Netanyahu, having not won the highest number of seats. Because I don't think Gantz can form a coalition. As a person, that's what's interesting. It's like it's partially about the person at the top of each party and whether they can do it or not.
I still think that it was a political mistake to go into the second round.
Well, yeah.
No, but even by logic, it's like if you got a good result, do you really think do you think that anybody wants to go to second elections? Like, don't you think that the country will punish you for trying to go
to
second elections?
Did you think at the time that the country would punish him? No.
Yes, I did. I did. I thought it was, right from the get-go, I'm like, is this crazy? This is crazy. Everybody thought it was a crazy thing. It was a crazy thing to go into elections immediately after just having finished elections. And by the way, it was unprecedented and kooky. It was a kooky thing.
It is crazy, but I didn't think to myself, like, Bibi Netanyahu is responsible for this. It seemed like, well, the voters didn't put into power one particular party over another, so we have to do this again. Yeah. It never occurred that Benjamin Netanyahu was personally making a screw up.
He personally sent us into second elections. It didn't have to be. He could have, by the way, given a chance to the other
parties. The Knesset had to vote. The Knesset dissolved itself.
His coalition voted to dissolve. But it was a mistake, I think. I think it was a mistake, and I thought so at the time. In any case, Malka, that's why I got a little tired from all that.
Yes, it is tiring.
It is tiring.
It's a little deflating.
And also at the same time, I've got this flight, but also there's Rosh Hashanah coming.
Yeah.
And it's like bigger.
Yeah, there's big stuff.
And it's just like, oh my God, I can't believe how much time. And I'm a guy who is pro-politics. Like, I think politics is important, but it's like, Ribono shel Olam, I need to move forward in other things. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe Hashem wants us to think about elections. You know, we're going to the polls again, Ishai, in a week.
That's right. And this show is called...
We gotta elect the king. But I am very confident that there's one party that's going to win the overwhelming majority of the votes.
And
that is Hashem. Uh-huh. Party Hashem.
Not the Pirates Party. There's like a pirate party in Israel. No, not them. Of course, it's... But he's not getting elected exactly. He's getting coronated. We choose him.
Yeah, it is a certain kind of election.
Right, right. And he chooses us. By the way, that's in this week's Parsha. It's like, you caused me to say that you're my God, and you guys caused me to say that I'm your nation. It's a line in this week's Torah portion. And do you know, Malka, that there's a concept that we wear a pair of tefillin that says that only, you know, God is king.
Right.
But that God wears a pair of tefillin, and it says "Mikamocha, Israel, Mikamocha."
Oh,
you know,
like nice.
like a unique nation amongst others. Like you're my nation. Okay, so we have this Rosh Hashanah, and it's like it takes focus. It takes work. I just, when I sat down to my desk here, I saw that you had filled out a piece of paper that said meat-filled dates.
Yes.
Meat-filled dates.
I saw new. It was on the Mako website.
Yeah. Meat-filled dates. And I think even the words meat-filled dates is
doesn't
some kind
of... sound like Rosh Hashanah food?
Yeah, and it sounds like a metaphor for our spiritual bodies and stuff like that. You know, it's like we're a date, which is like a spiritual thing. And inside we've got, you know, people say, are you a body with a spirit in it, or your spirit with a body
on it,
you know? And somehow meat filled dates makes me think about that in some what's the word I'm looking for? Other interesting way. In any case, mommy, we got an amazing Torah portion here. I'm sorry. Did I just call you mommy?
You did. You called me mommy in front of all these people.
Oh, darn it. That only happens in front of the kids. You know how it is. I'm telling you.
And yes, Papa.
And it's also hot out there.
Yes.
It's hot out there. And Sukkot is coming.
Wait, but I want to say one. I need to go back to the practicalities for one second. I mean the non-spiritual. I want to go back to the meat.
You want?
Because this is something that we had mentioned before. And I, God forbid, do not want to interrupt
this. This is a date. And it's very meaty in our discussions. Ah, we're having a meat-filled date.
I just want to say, in Israel, we really care about who wins and who loses the elections.
Right.
But we don't freak out like in some countries where when one party wins, the other party, has to go on suicide watch.
Right.
And can't handle it and starts bashing the other side and starts talking about what bad people they are and what scum the leaders are. You notice that in the morning, just like I said, in the morning, 2 days later, you already have the opponents who might actually have to work together. So in that sense, it also makes sense.
Right.
Shaking hands and smiling.
And have worked together in the past.
All right. Definitely have worked together in the past. And it just seems like in Israel, there's no room for the kind of contention that you have in, say, America over administrations like the Trump administration, where some people are like, we're so great. And the other ones are like, you're the devil. And then the other one's like, actually, we're so great and you're the devil. We don't get into that stuff here. And that's something I'm grateful for.
Malka, this week's Torah portion is Ki Tavo. It's chapter 26 of the book of Deuteronomy. Very personal Torah portion. Moses still talking, giving us in this case, lots of love, but also tough love. This is the Torah portion that has the famous super harsh curses. We have two versions of curses in the Torah.
Yep.
We have the ones at the end of the book of Vayikra, in the Torah portion of Bechukotai, and we have here in Ki Tavo, right? Just like we have two versions of the Ten Commandments, we have two versions of the curses. The curses, by the way, are considered part of the covenant in the sense that if you're with me, well, rock on. And you'll be blessed. And if you're not with me, well, there's going to be some bad stuff. And if you read through it, it's really the Holocaust. It's really the Holocaust. And do you want to hear a very interesting thing? This week's Torah portion, which has kind of a description of the Holocaust in it, it doesn't like have a good ending. Do you know that? It doesn't like go like, but everything's going to be all right at the end. It's just
I don't like that.
It doesn't have that. Now, the other one, Bechukotai, does have a good ending. And they say one of the explanations is that the one here in Ki Tavo is written in singular form, like you will, but on a singular instead of plural, as opposed to the one in Vayikra, which is in plural. And we have a halacha that the kahal does not die.
What do you mean?
The nation of Israel does not go down.
Yes.
Individuals go down.
Right.
Even 6 million individuals, God forbid.
God forbid.
But that could happen. But the nation comes back out of it. That's just the nature of the Jewish people. That's the nature, or want to call it supernature, of the Jewish people. And this week's Torah portion has a very interesting combination of things. First thing, it talks about the first fruits. You're going to come into the land. And then I want you to say things. I want you to come in and say right in the temple, you're going to say things. He brought us to this land. He gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruit of the ground that you have given me, O Hashem. And you shall lay it before, and then you do action, and you shall lay it before Hashem your God, and you shall prostrate yourself before Hashem your God. And you shall rejoice with all the goodness that Hashem your God, this is such an important verse, v'samachta b'chol atov, v'samachta b'chol atov. You got to come to Jerusalem and be so thankful for all the goodness that God has given you. And I think that ties right into what you just said a second ago, which is what's happening in our country, I think, I want to think, is that even though we had this fight, this war, this political war, the below it is v'samachta b'chol atov. You got to be happy with all the good that God has given you.
Right.
And I was talking to these.
We're also used to stuff being hard sometimes. So when it's hard, you're like, okay, so it's hard again. It was easy. Right. Now it's hard again. Right. And we've had much harder. So we'll overcome this too.
You know, Maka, I told some Americans, they were like, I'm like, I was with Pete Hegseth, the incredible Fox News, broadcaster and journalist. And we were talking about the psychological problem in America. And I said to him, and he's like, well, how can we cure it? I said, well, thankfulness. Gratefulness. Just be so grateful. Go around the world and notice how great living life in America is. Maybe one of the best countries in the world. But like, just be more grateful for what you do have, not what you don't have, what you don't like.
Right.
I think the same thing about life. And they say, by the way, in psychology, that one of the main cures for depression is to keep a gratitude journal. That's all you have to do. Really, if you just be grateful. I'm so grateful for my awesome lady wife. Friend. Okay?
You mean mommy?
That's right. Mommy. Okay? I'm so grateful for that. And
we are really making everyone uncomfortable. I can feel that right now.
I told you we're very tired, so I think the guard is down right now. So, you know, but like we're coming to Rosh Hashanah, and one of the most important prayers that we have to have is not what we want, but what we're grateful for. That's one of the most important prayers, is to say thank you to
That's
God.
Right.
That is such a... Mizmor
l'todah. There are sects... within Judaism, which are entirely based on this idea.
Right.
Just being grateful.
Just be grateful. It's so important to be so grateful. And there's nothing... And you have to be grateful for the consciousness of being grateful.
That's right.
It's like, thank you for even putting in my mind to be grateful to you. It's humongous. I cannot speak enough about how I have come to really believe that being grateful is one of the most important emotions that you can really, really develop inside of yourself. And when things are down, when the chips are down, and the chips, by the way, are sometimes down for no good reason. The chips are sometimes down because you're stressed, because you're late, and because too many pressures on you. None of them by themselves are big deals. It's just too much stuff, and your brain goes haywire. That's what happens to me anyway. Today I had a haywire. Like, I had to lie down, watch some idiotic TV because my brain just went haywire. It was just like, shorted out. Yeah, it is okay because you are very understanding, and I'm grateful, and I feel much better right now. Okay. Listen to this, Malka. Listen to these words. Hashem says to us that he has really chosen the Jewish people to be a unique and chosen people. That's the one hand. And on the other hand, if you don't, you're also going to be chosen for certain kinds of punishments that no other nation has ever seen.
Oh, wait.
Right? And then that's basically what happened. And this Torah portion contains one of my most, something I'm very emotionally attached to, which is what we call euphemistically, you and I, the Torah stones. The Torah stones are talked about in this week's parsha, and that is you're supposed to set up 12 stones in the land of Israel. It's going to have the Torah on them. And according to the last words in that paragraph, it's called Ba'er Hetev. Explain it well. Do you know what the term explain it well means?
No.
According to one explanation, it means in 70 languages. But wow. Generally speaking, we don't actually know what the term explain it well means.
I think maybe it's just like use your judgment.
There's an irony, though, in the term.
The explain it well is not explained well.
Like, what do you mean? Explain it well. What do you mean? You know what? As you were talking right now, as you and I were talking, my brain suddenly understood what Ba'er Hetev is.
What?
All these books that we have here. Look at the books. Look at the library here.
Yeah.
Look how many efforts there are to try to explain the Torah.
Right.
Look how many books we have with explanations that try to explain to you what the real Torah is about. There's so much written on it. And when we do the show, we're also doing a bit of Ba'er Hetev. It's a big mitzvah, ladies and gentlemen, to Ba'er Hetev. To explain it well, to explain it well to your children, to make them love it. Big mitzvah to make the kids love the Torah and believe that it is awesome and fun and brilliant. And that's what it is. And it's a great mitzvah to enjoy. And I can't be more thankful for the internet. Myself, I don't always have my rabbi exactly sitting next to me, my inflatable rabbi. Okay? But you know what I actually do? It comes today. I have one of my rabbis sends an inordinate, I would say too many, audios through WhatsApp with excellent explanation of the Tanya, for example.
Wow.
You know who sends that?
No.
Rabbi Nissan. He sends tons of, every day, like tens of excellent recordings.
Wow.
You could just hit play
on.
You don't even have to go download the podcast. It just comes into your thing. You'll hit play. Boom. Okay? And I want to thank so much Rabbi Et Shalom, Yitzchak Et Shalom, who, and another rabbi, Zarek Levy, on the OU's Shnayim Mikra podcast, which I highly recommend to people. It's a little bit more long form, but it's great stuff. There's so many people are trying to teach us the Torah. At the same time, ouch, as Rabbi Yudin would say, ouch, like there's so many Jews who don't know the Torah. And when I say don't know the Torah,
they like really, really don't.
They don't know what's going on in the Torah at all. And that's very painful. And we got to really remedy that. And we got to do a better job at Ba'er Heitev,
yes,
which means make cool videos or cool theme parks. And my dream, for example, for Hebron is that it's going to be a biblical experience. That's my dream. That's not just going to be like the stuff that's there explained. It's going to be a biblical experience. And that's really my goal for this year, Bezrat Hashem, for Tavshin Pei, right? That's where we're going in Tavshin Pei, to shop. Okay? Does not mean to shop, Malka.
Oh, it does not mean... now it does.
I don't mean Tavshin Pei means to shop, means to shop. Okay?
To shop!
To shop.
Oh my gosh, this is the year of the Messiah. I can feel it.
I really... Oh my gosh.
Yes.
By the way, I bumped into a Christian pastor in Texas, from Texas, in Hebron, and he wouldn't let up about that I'm not okay for not accepting Uncle Jay. And
that
I was just...
is not okay with
and
me.
And I was just like... And his whole congregation was around, and I'm like... I said to him, do you know what I always tell Christian folks when we get into these kind of discussions? I always say, let's agree to agree. By the way, Zev Orenstein, my good friend, has totally adopted that. Let's agree to agree. We have so much we agree on. Let's agree to agree and not worry about the other stuff. But he's like, no.
That's
He wouldn't let up. And then I said to him,
I have a soft spot for that kind of activity.
You mean a sore spot?
Yeah, a sore spot.
Did you say soft
like you push it and then all the worms come out.
Okay,
and,
but that's not what soft spot means, okay? That doesn't mean a soft spot on an apple. That you're using a lot of metaphors here. Did you say worms come out of the soft spot? No,
it was a visualization I had.
Yeah, no, you have like a nice place in your heart
that's a soft spot.
That's
not what I meant.
Yeah, you have a...
Or if I said that and you thought I meant it, then I was being sarcastic.
Okay, or you were being kind again. Okay,
I really don't have a soft spot for that. I have a big white hot rage for that.
Do you know what I told him right in front of his whole congregation? I said, can we agree that God is doing miracles with the Jewish people and bringing them back home to this land that he promised? He's like, yes. I'm like, well, amen.
Then let's not talk anymore.
Right? I'm like, well, amen.
Why don't you put some pizza in that pie hole of yours and be quiet?
By the way, you know how the conversation started? I go, where are you from? They go, we're from Texas. I go, you know, I'm an honorary Texan. My wife is from Texas, Sherman, Texas. They're like, oh, yeah. And then they're like, we're from Odessa, Texas. I'm like, I'm also from Odessa. But the other Odessa. The Jabotinsky Odessa. Anyway, the other thing I want to say about this week's Torah portion, Malka, is that you get the blessings and the curses, the famous admonition and the famous effort of Moses to kind of say, this is what you got to do when you go into the land. This is, to me, interesting. Moses is like, I'm not going with you, but let me give you a little command about what you got to do when you go into the land. You got to go to Shechem. You got to go to Shechem. And I want to say a big mazel tov to my friends. A big mazel tov to the Shachar family, who are listeners to this show, out in Alon Moreh. Okay? And they are really bringing the Jewish people
home. Wow. So happy. I'm so happy to hear that Karen and Natan had a wonderful little precious bundle of joy.
Yeah, but this family is like
they're the coolest people you ever met in your whole life. These guys
are bringing Jews to Alon Moreh, bringing their family, having tons of babies, changing the education system out there, bringing their in-laws.
They practice minimalism.
They practice amazing minimalism. Man, too cool.
They're really
too cool. And we're already invited.
They started a school.
We're already invited for Lech Lecha to our portion of Lech Lecha. Anyway, right there where they live, you could see the twin mountains of Har Eval, Har Grizim. Which one is the good one? Which one's the bad one? Well, Grizim comes from, sounds like the word Griz. Griz is like Greece. That's the Hebrew way of saying Greece, like in a tank. And so that's how I remember that Griz is how you get the blessings, because sometimes you get a grease the wheels,
okay,
and you get the blessings. So Har Grizim is the mountain of blessings.
Yes.
Har Eval, just
Eval.
Yeah, Eval, exactly. And you don't want that. So that's how I remember it. You remember what happened. And here Dr. Micha Goodman says, he says, look at Mount Sinai. Everybody is below the mountain, and then Moses goes up to the very tippy top and brings down the Torah. Here, it's inverted. The people are on the mountain. The Torah is coming from underneath. It's an inverted Mount Sinai.
Wow.
Okay? And that is because in the land, the blessings in the Torah comes from the land.
Wow.
Not from the top down, but from bottom up kind of thing. The land itself is blessed and has blessings, has Torah inside. Is that awesome?
That is awesome.
That is awesome. I know that is awesome. I know that that is awesome. All right. So if you Saturday night, you sometimes, there's the special reading Saturday night for blessings, and you remember it. It goes like this: Baruch ata ba'iru, Baruch ata b'sadeh, Baruch pri bitnecha, upri admatcha, upri be'metecha, shgar alafecha, v'ashta rotzonecha, Baruch tenecha u'mashartecha, Baruch ata b'vuecha, Baruch ata b'tzetecha, Yiten Hashem et oyvecha, kamim alecha, nigafim lefanecha. Your enemies are going to be destroyed from before you. B'derech echad yitzu elecha, u'bishivad drachim yenusu lefanecha. They'll come at you with one way, and they'll run away in seven. Yitzav Hashem itcha et habracha. Hashem is going to give you blessings in your storehouses. Everything you do, He's going to bless you in the land, which Hashem gives you, the land that Hashem gives you. Hashem is going to raise you up to be a holy nation, which He swore to you. If you just keep His commandments and go in His ways, those are the promises. The reverse, the curses are unspeakable. In fact,
don't speak them.
They're so bad. They're so bad, and they go on for pages.
Oh,
they're so bad. They're so bad that there's even some words which were changed, which we read. We look at it one way, and we read it a different way, so it would be less offensive.
Really?
Yes.
Is that okay?
That is the Masoretic notes that we have. And for example, kind of famously, there's some words that, like, a person will engage a wife and somebody else will take her. Mm. Okay, so the Torah uses words that are like akin to like violate or rape, that type of thing. Right. So the way we say it is like lay with her. You know what I mean? Like
horrific.
Yeah, less horrific, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, mothers, you know, eating their children, that kind of stuff, and it's there in order to be real, the kind of stuff that God forbid happened in the Holocaust. So, the Holocaust, in one way, and I say this every single year, it's not a denial of God; it's a proof of Him. You can have a beef with Him and say, "I can't believe you allowed the Holocaust to happen," but he'll say back, "But I told you that such a thing could happen." You can't use the Holocaust as a denial of God. I mean, it's logically problematic because it's in the book.
Right.
It's in the book. So you can't deny God on the basis of the Holocaust. That's just like, and there's the old joke, right, about the grandkid who speaks to his grandfather that has the number on his arm. And he says, "Grandpa, do you believe in God?" And he goes, "After what he did to us?"
Nah.
That's the old joke. I actually like that joke, but it never gets a laugh.
Yeah.
In any case, when we get into the land of Israel, we're supposed to set up 12 stones, 12 stones that have the whole Torah written on them, and maybe in 70 languages. One of my dreams, Malka, and I don't know how, you know, and if anybody out there is interested in helping one of these dreams actually take root, is to set up such 12 stones and make a Bible park, a park of the Bible. Now, there's a disagreement. What is supposed to be written on those 12 stones? Only the book of Devarim? Deuteronomy, only the commandments, according to Rav Sajid Gaon, only the commandments.
Hmm.
Some people say the whole Torah, and in 70 languages.
Wait, why would you write only the commandments on 12
on 12 stones?
How does that work?
Through division. 613 commandments, and you write kind of the list of commandments.
Oh, 613 commandments.
Yeah. So that's another option out there. So let's set that up in real life, okay? And my New Year's resolution, quote unquote, is if I use the Gentile version of how we make that phrase, my New Year's resolution. Yeah. In Hebrew, we say hachlota,
yeah,
right? Hachlata, a kind of personal decision. But the Chabad way is hachlata, like a
decision,
a resolution that's resolute. Okay, is to bring the Bible more into Hebron and into the land of Israel in general, specifically yes. Hebron. But to bring the Bible to life. That is has become a new subset goal of mine
wow.
in clarity. Meaning to say, I have now written, it's a third command in my, I have, you know, three top line, like, decisions about what life is supposed to be about. And this is now number three in that, which is like, as a personal goal of in life, and certainly for this year, bring the Bible more to life. We're always trying to struggle to bring people into our political consciousness. Our political consciousness is based on our internal narrative, which is based on the story of the Tanakh. If you don't have that internal narrative, then how do you base? You're going to find some other rationale for what the state of Israel is supposed to do, or maybe it's not supposed to exist at all. We need to bring the Bible into people's lives. You and I discussed this about Hanukkah.
Yes.
And there are many other ways we have to bring the Bible back to life. And that is, I think, the one of the great goals. Wow, I've been schmoozing a lot, Malka.
Yes.
Now it's time for you to meet Phil, these dates right
yes,
here.
I got my recipe out. For Rosh Hashanah. Well, I hope it's going to be good.
It's going to be really good. I think we're going to be where, on the Mount of Olives?
It looks like we're going to be on the Mount of Olives and okay. in a couple other places in Jerusalem.
Awesome, awesome.
Over Rosh Hashanah.
Very good, very good.
I'm pretty excited.
And I'm going to be...
I'm a little nervous, though, because usually we make Rosh Hashanah in my house... And so I get to try out all kinds of new recipes, but this year I'm going to have to really like reduce it down to like one or two core Rosh Hashanah foods.
You're going
to
be awesome, Malka. You're going to be awesome.
I don't know what to do.
Hashem should bless you with all the things that you need for a new Rosh Hashanah.
Amen.
Okay. For
yes.
To make a new Rosh Hashanah, to make all the delectables, and they should be emotional and spiritual delectables.
Yes.
Delicacies. And I want to bless you all out there. There's a lot of people out there who write to me after shows and are connected to me. And I want to thank you very much for being with me this great year. I will be with you also next week, but I shall be on the road. It'll be a road show. I'll be on the road. I'm doing a bazak. How do you say in Hebrew? You say bazak, like a lightning tour. That's what yeah. it is, a lightning tour starting Saturday night till Friday, Bezrat Hashem. So I'll be out in all kinds of states doing all kinds of stuff with also the Director General of the Jewish Community of Hebron, which is Uri Karzen. And so we'll be out there. And I hope that you'll connect to me and give me spiritual strength wherever I am. And I'm sending it back to you. Please check out my Facebook, which is a lot of fun. Twitter, which is even more fun. Even a little on, what do you call it? On Instagram, of course, on SoundCloud and on YouTube.
We're
out there. Malka is a merciless Twitterer. Okay, you could be. By the way, I just heard that Issa Amru, who's my frenemy on Twitter in Hebron,
okay,
he said to Pete Hegseth, he's like, I like Yishai. Don't tell him though.
What?
That's right.
You're not. He wasn't supposed to tell you.
That's
then.
Okay. That's okay. Frenemies. That was a way. Actually, see, the in reality, that was a way of a frenemy. Saying that without
right,
saying
right,
that,
right.
See, but I knew that already. I didn't need to know that. Wink, wink, and who will you know? And the fight goes on.
Yes,
and the Jewish people are back in the land of Israel, and that nothing is going to stop that. That's the end of the show. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you to Moshe Herman, to Tabitha, to Ben Bresky. Actually, Ben Bresky's on vacation. I think he's
yeah. Going Ben, no thanks to you.
No thanks to you, but thank you, Malka. Thank you very much.
Yishai.
And have
for having me on.
Have a blessed Shabbat. Oh,
one more thing. No.
Let's not forget to dedicate the show to a very special lady. Okay, this next week is the
yes.
Yahrzeit of my beloved mother-in-law, your beloved mom.
Yes.
Her name was Leah Bat Feiga.
That's right.
And Leah Bat Feiga, she passed away.
That's right.
Now, I guess
13
years
ago. Right?
13 and years ago. We were there, and we went that fateful Rosh Hashanah that we went down.
That's right.
To
we
Texas.
Went to her funeral.
Yeah, that was hard.
That was hard.
But we send you lots of love up there, Leah Bat Feiga, and thank you so much for giving us strength, helping us have some of our kids by giving us
give us a good name,
give us a good name, and give us sending down good vibrations. from the heavenly sphere down to this lower but pretty awesome sphere of Jerusalem, the land of Israel, and the land of blessed. So be blessed out there wherever you are. Stay tuned. Stay connected. Write me an email, yisha@thelandofisrael.com. Don't be a stranger. God bless you wherever you are. And Shana Tova. I'll speak to you next week.
Shana Tova Umetuka.